We are the free, the freedom generation, singing of mercy. You are the one who set us all in motion. Yours is the glory. There's a fire in our hearts and it burns for you. It's never gonna fade away. We are the free and yours is the glory.
amazing grace. Your love is my jailbreak. I'm going free. Come on, declare it. Amen. Declare your freedom. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. To my shackles of Tennessee. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus.
Come on, church, sing it out. I said,
glory, glory, hallelujah. To my shackles of Tennessee. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty. I'm going free.
Yeah, we're going free. Come on, give him praise. Woo! There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, declare with me. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing it out.
There is power in the name of Jesus, church. Lift it up. There is power. Almighty name.
Forgiveness, the chain of self-righteousness.
I'm here to tell you that the mighty name of Jesus Christ is the only name that will break that chain. It can happen right here, right now. How does that happen? Because of great music? Nope. Because the power of the name of Jesus. He is, our Father God has given us the power of attorney to use that name. So as we sing this again, break every chain. Whatever is in your life, begin to declare that chain broken. And today will be the beginning of the rest of your life in freedom. Amen. Come on. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Surrounding me, break at your name. where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God's already declared freedom this morning and told you to declare it. But right now, I want to seal that over you. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom from sickness. There is freedom from depression. There is freedom from despair. There's freedom from addiction. There's freedom from night terrors. Whatever it is that has you bound, there is freedom right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare that there is freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
sometimes you get the thought of, well, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? I'm trying. I want to be free. I want that. I thought I received that, but then I messed up again, and now I don't know what to do. Well, there was a time when you had to bring a sacrifice every single day for all the mistakes you made that day. But I want you to know it's not that way anymore. This is what it says. It says, according to the old covenant, the priest would stand daily, every day, offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It can make you feel better for a short time, but it can't make you clean. It can't give you freedom. But it says, but he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he offered it and then sat down. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. I want you to know, we can say freedom is available today because of what Jesus did. That he finished it, broke the chains, and now offers it. You don't have to learn what to do. You got to learn how to receive, my friend. So let's thank him for that. God, thank you that you purchased freedom with the precious blood on the cross and made it available for each and every person, that their story could be different because of what you did. That though addiction and fear may have riddled their stories for a long time, that you purchased freedom now and forever, for all time. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, as you're being seated, I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, man, I am glad to see you today. Come on, find the person sitting alone and tell them. Find the person sitting alone, tell them. Well, I can certainly say from everybody here on the stage that, man, we are glad to see you here today. Amen. And especially if this is your first time here at Resurrection Life, if you're a first-time visitor, gosh, we're so glad you're here with us. Amen. Man, we hope you feel welcome. We hope you feel at home here, because we believe God wants you to feel at home here. And all we ask you to do, if this is your first time, go out the double doors in the back, turn to the left, and we've got a gift just for you. A little card we'd like for you to fill out as our way of being able to get in contact with you, pray for you, all that good stuff. So let's give a hand for all of our first-time visitors. All right, let's go ahead and look at our RLM minute.
Kids Children's Ministry is having their back to school bash. That's right, kids. On Wednesday night, August the 22nd, you need to be here at 6 p.m.
for the time of your life.
Ms. Gail, last week you said that the Young at Hearts group was supposed to bring school supplies on the 18th for y'all's meeting. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you have here a bag of school supplies, stuff like, ooh, Crayola crayons. Yeah. This is for the kids to eat, huh?
No, children don't eat crayons.
They
cut off them.
I ate crayons. You know what my favorite was?
What?
Grape. What was your favorite?
I don't remember.
Why?
It's been too long ago.
Okay. I'm not going to touch that. But, and what we have here is we have hand sanitizer because kids are just nasty.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. All right. And let's see what else we got here. What about the meeting next week?
It's on the 18th in the children's building at 5 p.m. Bring a covered dish and bring your school supplies.
Yeah.
Notebooks, paper, folders.
And glue. I love glue. It tastes so good. Here, you want some?
No.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. We're special. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That doesn't mean mercy wasn't given. Jesus Christ gave mercy, but until you receive it, you hadn't obtained it. All right? He said, you were not a people. Everybody's trying to find himself. Find out who they are. But now you are a people. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I pray your revelation. God, put your words in my mouth, Lord. Help me to understand what you're saying. In your name we pray. Amen. Now for 20 weeks, I preached on who am I. I preached on the things the Lord led me. I could have preached 20 more on who am I, who we are as Christians. All right, who we are. You cannot be successful as a Christian if you do not know who you are. Because you will always set the bar less than. You'll always make excuses for. You'll never live up to. All right? But you got to know who you are. Who am I? It is amazing that the whole world searching for who they are. I mean, it's funny. I'm still convinced. I know some of you have done it, and so I'm not making fun of you, but I'm kind of making fun of you. You know, I mean, people want to find out who they are. Ancestry.com. I thought I was Italian for 20 years, now I found out I was Eastern European. I mean, the one I got, I started to do this as an illustration, and I thought better of it. You know, the guy thought, we were German. You know, we did all the German dances, and then I found out I was Irish. And he comes out the Celt. I thought about coming, but I said, nah, better not. Anyway, I mean, everybody's searching for who they are, wanting to find out where I come from. I'm convinced those people have minimum wage people just making the stuff up in the back room and sending it all to you. Watch this commercial. I mean, we want, everybody's desperate to know. I knew I was royalty. I knew it. I mean, that guy wanted, he was .0012 Viking. I knew it, you know. When God, listen, whether that stuff is made up or not, it don't change nothing. The truth changes things. And for 20 weeks, I tried to get you to convince you who you are. Here's the thing. This is what you need to declare over yourself. All right? Because, man, my genealogy, I think I know it, but it don't mean nothing to me. Let me tell you what really means something to me. I'm of the lineage of the tribe of Levi of Judah. My dad's the father of my big brother's Jesus Christ, and that's the blood that flows through my veins. That's who I am. I need to find out what that heritage means. Everybody stand up. This is good. We're gonna play Catholic today. We're gonna be up and down all day. Here we go. Here we go. This is who we learned we are for 20 weeks. And I want you to say it like you believe it. All right? Because it's true. This ain't my man. I didn't make this up. This is all God's stuff. Amen? Let's read it together. I am a blood-bought child of the Most High God. Come on. Just go, yeah.
Yeah.
I am made in His image. I have the breath of life. I am part of the family. I have been baptized in His grace, of which I did not earn or deserve. By that grace set free, I am in Christ. I have confidence I am free in Christ. Because I am always on His mind, that makes me priceless. I am provided for. I am gifted. I am a part of the elect. I know my prayers are being heard. I am the light of the world. I am a servant king. Therefore, I am called to be a worshiper and a warrior. At my birth, it was declared over me greatness. I am free to be all God has called me to be. Amen. Everybody have a seat. Now, here's what... That's the truth of God. I ain't trying to, this ain't no mental workshop to make you feel good about your pathetic life. I'm trying to make you understand that when I got saved. Now, if you're not saved, that ain't you. But if you are saved, that is who we are. And I need to, if my life does not line up with that, then I need to start seeking the Lord and let the Holy Spirit make my life line up with that. Because it is who I am. Now, we're going to start over the next few weeks. We have these things called identity thieves that steal who we are. They steal what God has said. How is it that some people walk with God and have miracles and all that stuff. A few years later, they are gone. They don't even know if God exists. Something stole something from them. In our identity, in these identity thieves, they will come. And you got to understand, you better learn to take control and recognize them. So that you can combat them, so that you don't let them steal who you are. Now, I'm going to go through a few things over the next few weeks that are identity thieves. And don't you dare be like the guy from LifeLock, where I'm stealing his stuff from. LifeLock, you remember? See, some of you are so arrogant-minded, you think you above all that. Oh, I'll never do that. I can't fall. I'll never be like her. You know the guy that started LifeLock, the company? Some of you might be with LifeLock when he first started. If you're old enough to remember like I am, he started that company and he was so confident. I prefer to use the word arrogant. You remember his commercials? He drove a truck around, a big box truck, with his Social Security number on it. Said, no way anybody can steal my identity. Drove it around the big cities of America, advertising LifeLock. We won't let anybody steal your identity. That was their guarantee. Look, I believe it. He'd stand there and point to the truck as his name and his social security. Well, guess what? It wasn't long. Some of these little hackers done stole all his money and bought him an island and all kinds of stuff on his credit, ruined his credit. Well, guess what? He changed his tune. Now they say, we will help protect you from thieves. You need to understand that Satan, if you're convinced who you are, you become a threat to his kingdom. That's why he's got to steal your identity. All right? Now, the number one identity thief, I want to start here. I've only got two today. Two-point sermon. Is we have got to learn to not live and operate by the law. What steals our... We are living under the law. And what I mean by under the law, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about performing by a set of rules to get God to do things for us, to get God to like us, to get God to this, to make sure he hears my prayers, all those different things. Look at Galatians 3. I'm reading the Amplified just because I think it says it funny. And so, you know, it's living by faith instead of by your flesh. How many of you have ever said this? Let me help you. How many of you have ever said this? And don't raise your hand because it'll be depressing. But okay. I did it again, but I'm never going to do that again. See, what you're doing is you're living by the law, flesh, the strength of my flesh. I ain't doing it again. Some of you addicts that have struggled with addictions. This is wrong. I'm not doing it again. And guess what happens? What happened in Galatians? Look at what he said. Oh, foolish, thoughtless, and superficial Galatians. Yeah, I think that's funny. Anyway. Oh, foolish and thoughtless and superficial Picayunians. Who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you that you should act like this? To whom, right before your eyes, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified in the gospel message. This is all I want to ask you. Look, I want to ask you one thing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the requirements of the law, or was it a result of hearing and believing? How'd you get saved? Did you get good? Like some people say, well, Brother Allen, I just figured it was time for me to get saved. You didn't get saved. You ain't saved. You ain't a child of God. You don't come to God on your terms. That's law. I'm going to make a statement about 3-4 times. I'm going to go ahead and make it for you. All right? I'm going to make it at the beginning. I do because I am. I don't do to get. I do because I am. What are we talking about? If you live by a set of rules, I got to make sure you understand this now. If you live by a set of rules that makes you holy, this makes me holy. How many of you said that? I'm gonna hammer this nail until you get it, till the look on your face changes. What the heck is he talking about? You know, hey, I want you to get this. How many of you ever said, well, I can't do that right now, brother. I hadn't had a good week. I hadn't been good this week. But when you are good, God heals your prayers. So is that the way it works? So when you're good, God hears your prayers. When you're not good, he doesn't hear your prayers. Oh, you foolish Picayunians. Who has bewitched you that you began by simply, it's all based on Christ's performance. I am holy. Why? I am righteous. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, not my performance. If I start doing things to get things from God, I am stepping into legalism and it'll be based on my performance. Are you seeing that? You understand that? That's where religion. See, when you have all them forms you fill out and they say what religion, say none. I don't like religion. Religion was created by man. God wants a personal relationship with you. And when you do these set of rules, that if you do them right, you know, you feel good about yourself. Instead of feeling good about yourself because you are right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Some people, you know, they need something else to feel good about themselves. They need something else to do instead of rejoicing in what Christ has done and then do all that stuff simply because you love Him. I wish I had the camera this way, Todd, so we could look at their faces like, what's he saying? All right, let me try to make it more plain for you. Has you ever had somebody do something nice for you, but you knew they expected something in return? You think, I mean, didn't that make you feel kind of, even though you needed it and you took it, you felt kind of, ugh. Don't you think God feels the same way when you do things for Him because you expect something in return? Instead of doing stuff for Him because you love Him for all that He has already done for you. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me now? That's what the Galatians were having trouble because they said, "Ah, yeah, it's all by faith, but now you got to do this, this, and this. You got to cut your hair. You got to wear this kind of clothes. You got to do this. You got to not do that. You got to whoa. You got to do all this stuff." Well, whose set of rules is right? Everybody's got a different set of rules. God tells specific things to people, but He doesn't say that to everybody. How do I get right with God? I am right with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believed it. I received it. It is who I am. And because of that, I do because of who I am. I want to do the right thing because that's who we are. I want to pray because that's who we are. I want to commune with Daddy because that's who we are. Is that making sense? What this does, if you're living by a set of rules, I want to tell you a story real quick to show you so you can check yourself. If you're living by a set of rules, if you're legalistic, you either hide or you have pride. Either one. If you're living by a set of rules and you're by law, you either have pride, better than her. Wow. Did you hear about so and so? We love to gossip because it makes us, some perverted way, it makes us feel better about ourselves. Oh, I'd never do that. Ooh. You hear that, what that guy did? Or, when you make a mistake, you hide. I know, I have people right now, and I'm a nice guy. I am a nice guy. I have never hollered at anybody in the store. Or I'm always, "Hey, how you doing? Your mom and them okay?" You know, I mean, I'm a Southern male. I was brought up right. I have people, I walk in Walmart, and they'll run from me. I mean, just run like I'm going to go, "Sinner!" I ain't never done that before in my life. What makes them do it? Because they had a set of rules and they didn't live up to them, so it makes them hide. When people that understand where their grace comes from, they go, man, I once was like that. Yes, I may, but the blood of Jesus has covered me. There's a story. I'm not going to take time to read it. And just write it down in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32 is the story of the prodigal son. And I'm going to give you a list, and I want you to check yourself. When you go home, be honest. All right? I want you to check yourself. Here's what happened. Because the story, they call it the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. If you don't know the story, go home and read it. To father had two sons, one younger, one older. The young one kept pestering daddy. Come on, daddy. I want my inheritance. I'm old enough now. I want to go live and do, make my own way. And daddy said, kept saying, no, this ain't good for you. And then what does he do? Finally, he gives in. He goes out and the Bible says he spends all his money on riotous living. Let me just say something to you. Some of you are praying, asking God to give you more money. If you can't handle $10, you'll make a huge mistake with $1,000. I'll just throw that. That was free. Not what I'm talking about, but you know. So here this young man is eating the pig food because he lost all his money, and the friends you got, they get you get that you buy. Friends you got when you got money, they ain't friends no more when you ain't got no money. That's why you better find friends that love Jesus. Then you better check them out too. I'm kidding. Anyway. So he comes to, the Bible says he comes to himself. He says, man, the servants have more than what I'm eating. So he goes back home. The father, I love this, the father runs to him. When he sees him afar off, the father runs to him, and he's got, see, he's still a legalist. He's still living by the law. And so he says, look, Dad, I blew everything. I've lived like I wasn't your son. I'm not worthy to be your son any longer. Just let me be a servant. Father didn't even listen to his stupidity. He said, man, you're my son. Bring the ring. Bring the robe. Clean him up. Son, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's dance. Let's sing. Well, now here's where the churchgoers come into the room. You know, all you religious people that love to sit back and judge people. Here's where you walk in. The older brother comes in from out of the field doing good. Doing what he's supposed to. And here's what he says. I want you to hear this conversation. He says, what they doing in there? Somebody's partying. They dancing. Well, your brother has come home. Your dad has killed the fatted calf and they're throwing a party. It's a hoedown. They're farmers, so I figure they're doing the square dance. I don't know. Well, they are from southern Israel, so, you know. Anyway. The Bible says that the older brother got mad. He got jealous. I ain't going in. Like that was going to punish them. Anytime you hold unforgiveness and bitterness, you're the one you're punishing. They're partying in there. Enjoying, listen, everybody look at me. Enjoying the favor of the Father. And the Father runs out to his older son and says, son, your brother is back. Once was lost, now he's found. Man, celebrate with me. He said, Dad, I have worked for you. I have prayed. I taught Sunday school. I did this. And not one time have you ever thrown a party for me that I can make merry with my friends. Here's what the dad said to him. Son, it's all been yours the whole time. It was already yours. You could have had a party anytime you wanted to. You could have enjoyed the favor of the Lord. See, some of you have no faith. You have no expectation because you think you've got to earn God's favor. God poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ. Now, if I receive it and believe it, guess what happens? I am now a full-blown, blood-bought son of the Most High God. There ain't no stepchildren in heaven. You only is or you ain't. You either got the DNA in you or you don't. Look at this list. Please write this down if you're taking notes. I want you to check yourself. I know you can go online and look at it. See, here's signs that you're living by a set of rules. You make people earn things. Your praise, your generosity. You believe they... You judge people. You're quick to judge. Like some of you have roasted preacher every Sunday at lunch. What did you think about that sermon? I don't know. I didn't like the T-shirt thing. What is that? Got a coat with a T-shirt, man. Why does he got to holler? Why didn't he holler more? I don't know, man. When you live by this, you love to compare yourself to other people. At least I ain't as bad as them. Justify your bad behavior when you're living by the law. How about this one? You change your laws based on your behavior. You change your God based on your behavior. You're jealous. You know one of the biggest things? We don't celebrate when good things happen to other people. I've watched people walk out of here mad as a wet hornet because they didn't get a prophetic word. When some people got to, that shows you're living, you're trying to get something from God that you already have. You have no expectations of good. I pray, Brother Allen, I fasted, I prayed, I sought the Lord all week, and nothing. That might be your answer right there. Because listen, look at me. Everybody look at me. I don't care what your theology is, honey. God is God, and you ain't. He ain't your puppet you're going to pull strings and get to do. Prayer is no magic words or anything. I fast, I pray because I am, not to get something. Does that make sense? We don't celebrate. I deserve to get what they deserve to get. Some of you don't pray for other people because you think they're getting what they deserve. On that sheet right there, you will not write certain names because you're going, they've lived like a punk and they're getting what they deserve. We really want to go there. And we have no thankful heart. I can tell during worship, a lot of us are living by a set of rules and we're not thankful because maybe you're not blessed that day. And somebody else got blessed and it's hard. I'm working through hard times. Man, I expect the favor of the Lord. I don't, He don't give me all the favor I want. Because I want favor all the time. I'd love to be able to eat anything I want to, not gain a pound. He ain't giving me that. But I don't pray for myself hardly anymore. Because I think I'm already on God's mind. Why do I have to... we're like that little kid. Anybody had that little kid that stand there and go, Daddy, 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 until you go, what? Don't act like they, y'all act like I'm the only one. What? Look, I'm already thinking about him, how to bless him. I get up trying to think of how to bless my children. God, you're already on God's mind if you're his child. I don't have to remind him, hey, oh, hey, remember me, buddy? I expect to be blessed. Man, I got blessed the other day. I mean, you know, it's toward the end of the month. You know, if you like me, toward the end of the month, man, some months are long. And you run out of money at the end of the month, you know. We went to the chicken place to Popeye. I just expect to be blessed, man. I'm going to be taken care of. If all hell breaks loose and the government folds up, somehow I'm going to be taken care of. If you want to be taken care of, just hang around me. I had helped a lady about 3-4 years ago. Years ago. Didn't even remember her name. Oh, brother, she was working at Popeye's. And I just, we had just enough money to buy 10 pieces of chicken. Because I only had 3 of us eating, you know. We don't normally get just 10 pieces of chicken. But no fluff, no french fries, no biscuits, no nothing. Chicken. I had to get my cup to get change. The lady comes out with a big bag. She goes, I knew it was you, Brother Allen. I threw a few extra stuff in there because I know you like that. I mean, she gave me red beans and rice, biscuits. I mean, all this stuff. I know you like that, you know. I said, this lady's keeping me fat right here. I didn't ask for that. But see, I expect my prayers to be answered because I know who I am. Not because I've been good or bad or whatever. It's who I am. Your prayers are saying, that's not just for a few, that's for everybody. You understand? You see that. That's why Satan's trying to bewitch you. Okay, yeah, you started it by faith, but now you got to earn his favor. No, Daddy loves you and wants to bless you. He also loves you enough to correct you. I wish some of you parents would get that. Grandparents, you're raising kids. God will give you the grace. You got to correct them. Or you don't love them. But what I'm saying is, don't be tricked. I do. I read my Bible. I come to church. I pray. I live a holy life. I don't do certain things because of who I am, not to get anything from him. I mean, we're going to talk about sin later as an identity thief. But I want you to perform because you love him, not to get something from him. Because that's manipulation. Second one. I'll quickly go through this. Isolation. 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 Let me say something to you. And we're in the middle of life groups, and that's the reason I held this off. I've been doing a study on loneliness. How powerful loneliness is. It might be the worst demon of all. Because it drives people to do. And let me tell you something. This is a parenting tip. This is whatever. People are connected to the whole world, but yet they feel alone. I watch families and watch them, couples, young couples, go out on a date. And they're sitting there staring at their phone. I got on to my two children, my son and my daughter-in-law, because we're all fellowshipping, and they're staring on their phone. I say, are we so boring that you don't want to talk to us? Let me tell you something. Loneliness is a demon that will drive you. And God knows, please hear this. God, I mean, don't be there. Look, I mean, if you attempt to argue with me, I think I'll hit you with my Bible. I've been pastoring 32 years. I have watched this process over and over and over again. You isolate yourself. I don't need that church. I don't need them relationships. Yeah, we got crackpots in here. We got ding-dongs. We got people that are strange. But guess what, honey? So are you. Where'd you think you the prime alpha? You got quirks. You weird. We all are. Ain't none of us in here perfect. Amen? God, listen to me now. Don't say, I can meet God anywhere. I can have God. I can have church at home on the TV. I can meet God. Let me tell you something. God walked with Adam a lot more real than he walks with us. Right? And that God proclaimed, it's not good that man is alone. You say, well, that was about husband and wife. No, that was about relationships. 1st person that Satan tries to get you. Let me quickly go to you, and I want to show you an illustration. 1st person that he wants to get you isolated from. Well, go ahead and read that. I'm sorry. I need to read those scriptures. Put that back up, Bethany. You're right. I got carried away with it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We stir each other. Did anybody feel anything in their heart when they heard Lauren's testimony? What happened? She stirred us up a little bit, didn't she? You can't get that by yourself. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, building as so much more as we see the day approaching. What day is that? It's a bad day for people that don't believe in Jesus. It's a good day for people that do believe in Jesus. The day when I meet Jesus. There's going to be a great falling away. Satan is trying to isolate us. Two places he's trying to isolate some. First, from the Father. In that same chapter, a few verses before, it says, draw near to God. Can you put that up there? Do we have that? Hebrews. Whoa. This is important if you don't. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. There you go. Look what it says. Talking about drawing near. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, not because you've been good. Well, I went to church this week, and so I think good things are going to happen to me. I tithe. He says, draw near to God by a new and living way which has consecrated us through the veil. That is his flesh. Talking about Jesus Christ having a high priest over. Let us draw near. Everybody look at me. I am not full of myself. If all you get is what I give you, I ain't that good. You ain't going to make it. You need to have a quiet time where you draw near to the Father. Where you pray. Not like this. Driving on the way. Okay, God, I got this. I got this today. Need you to take care of that person. God, would you let that person be sick so I don't have to deal with them today? And God, we... Some of them say, well, my quiet time is when I'm driving. We talking about two different things. I'm talking about where you steal your soul. You read the scripture and you pray and you kind of be quiet and see if he drops something in your mind. If you do not have that, you are not going to make it when trials come. You need to draw near to God. It is the privilege of being saved. Second isolation is from the family. First of all, the father is identity giver. It was my dad that told me, "Hey boy, we don't quit. We're Hickmans. You get your butt back out there." And I'm sorry that single moms don't have a man, because that ain't mamas that say that. When a mama says it, it don't look right, does it? Everybody's scared of her. When a daddy says it, it's given identity. You need to be around God the Father for Him to remind you who we are. You're better than that. That ain't who we are. Hey, son, you talked about you were rude to that old lady yesterday. I want you to go back and apologize. That ain't who we are. Does that make sense? That's why you got to draw near. Second one is draw near to the family. You got to listen. Molly, come on. I love Molly. She was so excited about doing my last that she begged me to do another one. Okay, this is Molly. She's our Christian. She is Molly Christian. Molly the Christian. She's trying to walk through this terrible world where the devil roars like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Molly don't think like some of you. She don't think she needs life group. She loves God, and God's done some miracles in her life. You do love God, don't you? Okay, I want to make sure. You got Jesus? You got Jesus? Mm-hmm. Go, yay, God. There you go. All right, well, Molly doesn't need a life group. I'm too busy, Brother Allen. I got things to do. I got dancing on Thursday, karate on Monday. I got baseball on Friday. And, I got to have some me time. I'm busy at work. So she don't have no time with God. And she ain't got time for a life group. Well, the devil is going to come. Now, here comes the devil. Micah, you're holding the baby, so you don't have to be the devil. All right, stand over there. Now, I believe that there's one thing I know about Molly. She ain't no victim. She will put up a good fight. But by herself, ain't no match. This is what's going to happen sooner or later. All right, devil, sweep in like a flood and carry her off. Come on. Now, I was thinking you'd throw her over your shoulder. That's better than just run with her. Yeah, there you go. All right. Now, look. Molly can fight, she can scream, she can speak in tongues, she can do all that stuff. But by herself, she is no match. Don't let your arrogance stink to high heaven. God said it's not good that man should be alone. So here's what happens. Molly comes to church on life group rally weeks, and here's an incredible sermon. Molly, come on. Here's an incredible sermon by an incredibly gifted and good-looking and thin pastor. That's right. Thank you. My wife said, "You are." That's right. She's the only opinion that counts. James, why don't you come on? Brent, why don't you come on? Benjamin, come on. So she joins a life group. And all of a sudden, come stand right here, Jane. She gets herself knitted with, got to get close. Now, look at me, look at me. The devil's coming. See, some of you theology, I want the Lord to cast that devil and get him out of here. Not on this side of heaven, baby. Sooner or later, he's coming. But now, he's going to have to lift up everybody. Go ahead, try. Come on. Come on. All of a sudden, he came. But then, let's just take it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If this happened, I think I would pass out. Then, let's start living out the Scripture. Aren't you a chiller? You used to this. Huh? Yeah, you are. Yeah, well, we're going to lift her up because the word, it said exhorting one another. Come on, grab her feet. Yeah. We're going to lift her up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Look. Look. We're exhorting her. There you go. Now look.
Yeah.
Look what happened. Oh, look. Look what happened. Instead of tearing each other down, oh, I didn't like what he did. How about we exhort one another, which means to build each other up. Now she is looking down at the devil. Now she's looking down at the devil. How many of you would love to look down at the devil? You can't do it yourself. You need somebody to build you up. Okay, you can get down now. Molly, you did great. Thanks, guys. I cannot overstate how important it is. There are times in our lives that we didn't know what to do. Somebody, because we got a relation, came along and spoke just a word, and it was like a breath of fresh air. But if I don't have those relationships, it's not there. And Satan literally starves us out. He chokes us down. So we quit. And we wind up, once we get going his direction, we wind up doing things we said we would never do. I know, and listen, I'm going to take another one last sentence at your arrogance. You say, I don't need that. That I have seen some of the most anointed men that could prophesy the stars have seen manifestations of God's miracle working, all this stuff. But they got cocky and they had no relationships. And now they're doing nothing because they didn't have anybody to hold them. Who's holding you? Let me ask you a better question. Look at me now. Who have you tied yourself to? You tied yourself to, like the rich young ruler, to people that are going to bail as soon as it gets hard. I'm out of here. You tied yourself to. And the last thing I want to say to you is, and we're going to pray. Come on, Ty. Everybody look at me. Be a good family member. Dang. I mean, dadgum, be a good family member. It is not, listen, the Holy Spirit, it's not your job to point out what's wrong with everybody. Get the stupid plank out of your own eye first. The legalistic, judgmental, you not the watchdog of the church. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts of sin. How about just encourage? Come on, man. I talked to a man yesterday who's a good, godly, loves Jesus man in our church. Him and his wife both have been pronounced with cancer. I believe in healing. And I'm going to pray for healing for him. But let me tell you what I did. I just called to tell him, man, I'm thinking about you and praying for you. And he began to weep. He said, oh my God, I needed that today. I just don't know what to do. I just needed somebody. I just needed some encouragement today. Be good family members. Be good to each other. And it's hard enough as it is. Courage, stir up one another. That's why you see, some of you are going to pray. Okay, I'm going to join a life group. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get a life group. And here's going to be your thought process. You're going to say, okay, what night do I have free? And what do they offer? And is there child care? Is it this and all that? That's a totally me way to do it. Could it be? I'm just saying. Could it be that you ought to ask God, God, what life group do you want me in? And this one comes up and you say, whatever, I'm going to be there. Because you showing up to that life group, your story might bless somebody else. It ain't just about you. Your story might set somebody free. Because that's one of the ways we overcome testimony is through the word of our testimony, correct? Through the word of your testimony, God will set somebody free. Does that make sense? Here's what I want to do. And sir, I know I've gone a little long. I apologize. I'll try to do better next time. I said I'd try. I mean, the Baptists and the Methodists are already at the restaurant. We got to let them get out so we can get in. All right, look at me. If you don't know Christ, let me tell you who you are. I'm not making this up. This is my opinion. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, you are a child of the devil. His words, not mine. You are a sinner headed for a hell that God did not create for people. Please never say God sends anybody to hell. God paid his best to keep people out of hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Doesn't want, I would that none should perish. But you have no right to expect anything but chaos in your life if you don't know Christ. Because that's who you are. You are of the father of lies is the devil. Says he's the father of all lies. And that's who you have kin yourself. Well, when you are born again, you become who I just said you are. Who we just declared you are. If you don't know Christ, I want to tell you, he's begging for you to accept him. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down here. But if you know Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to be a good family member. I'm going to ask you to be a good family member today. If you know Christ, and you life group leaders, I want you to lead the way. If you know somebody struggling in here, if you know somebody carrying a burden in here, or if you know somebody that has blessed you and they might never know it, but they blessed you, then I want you to go and exhort them. Pray for them, bless them, might be a family member, and I want you to be the family of God.